get ready to play ball on this episode of Jack Daniels Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody with Chad Belding. Powered by Bad Boy Mowers. Power, performance, attitude.
That's the great Austin Riley, starting third baseman for the Atlanta Braves.
Riley corks one deep left center field. That ball is way out of here.
Austin Riley, third baseman for the Atlanta Braves, highlights his professional growth and career aspirations.
In the minor leagues, I was terrible. I've come a long way from a defensive standpoint. There's still more in there. You know, I think there's a gold glove in there. I think there's a potential MVP in there.
And he discusses playing alongside other standout Braves talent.
Ronald Acuna Jr. is touted as one of the top players in the game.
He's great. God has blessed him with unbelievable talents. Playing behind that and being a part of that is pretty cool.
This episode of Jack Daniels Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody is brought to you by American Almond Beef, Cowboy Choice Feeds, Corning Ford, and Oakley Sunglasses. Listen in. Chad Belding and Austin Riley are on deck.
How'd that bomb feel yesterday?
Felt good. I needed it.
What does it take to hit a home run in the major leagues, Austin?
You know, for me, it's, you know, I've been blessed with, you know, being bigger and got the strength. So for me, it's just having a good plan when I go up there and, you know, having a good approach. And just, I've told everybody, every time I try to hit a homer, most of the time I strike out. Most of the time my homers come when I'm just trying to get a base hit. And that's what I was doing yesterday. Guy was on third, two outs, just trying to, you know, score the guy and, you know, was able to connect on one.
Throughout baseball, you always hear the analogy that a home run is a mistake by the pitcher. Was it a mistake? I mean, that ball didn't look like it was right down the plate or, you know, right in the center of the strike zone. You turn on it, or you turn on the base hit on the home run, you let the ball get a little bit deeper and you hit it out the right center. Is it a mistake, or did you just have good mechanics and you let the ball get to where it was supposed to?
You know, it may have been a little up and they may have been trying to go there, but it was, you know, it was on the corner of the plate. I think, you know, I told myself, I knew he had a cutter. It was brutally cold. I was like, just try to stay on it and not try to do too much. And, you know, I was looking out over and got that pitch.
Did you know you had got it when you hit it, or did you think it was just a double off the wall?
I thought he may have caught it because, you know, Ozzy had hit a couple that way earlier in the game that had gotten caught. He hit a double out that way. The wind was kind of blowing, you know, ball really wasn't traveling. So I definitely didn't think I got a homer. You know, I was just hoping that I was, you know, he wasn't going to catch it and was going to get a double.
I got to ask this question. Last night we were watching baseball. It was a West Coast game, San Francisco at Los Angeles. My brother Clint texts me and he's just upset. He's a huge baseball fan, but he just doesn't like this Dodgers lineup and what they've done. Now, is baseball such a business to where it is what it is? The owners and the management groups can put together a team like this and have three former MVPs is their top three, the top three in the lineup, one of them being an ex-teammate of yours, Freddie Freeman. Is it okay? Is it part of the game now to where you can put these super teams together because of the revenue these teams make, the value that these teams are worth? You have a great contract. I congratulated when that happened. I'm very happy for you. But is it too much what the Dodgers have done? Do other players in the league look at it like that, or it's just another day at the office?
I think as players, you know, it's another day in the office. I think we're the only brand, you know, MLB that doesn't have a salary cap. So it allows teams to, you know, there's a luxury tax and it allows teams to go spend what they want, you know, and you know, you look at NBA with the salary cap, guys, you know, teams are kind of limited to what they can spend. You know, you may, if you're going to give, you know, your top guy, you know, a huge contract, then the other guys kind of get, you know, the crumbles of the rest of the pot of money. So, you know, they obviously make a lot of money, the Dodgers, and are willing to spend it. So, you know, the way I look at it, it's a really good team and we get to play them. So, two really good teams going after it, you know, that's great baseball. So, and, you know, I think it's one of those things that to each his own. If they're willing and wanting to do it, then let them be.
So were you kind of awed or jaw-dropped when you saw the Ohtani numbers? I've seen big contracts, Austin Riley, but I mean, this was big.
Yeah, no, that it was crazy. Obviously, the two-way player, what he was capable of doing. I haven't dove into the actual numbers. I know he deferred a ton of money. So, it's an outrageous contract, but good for him.
Did you face Ohtani?
I did.
What have you done against him?
I think double down the line, single the other way, and then I think maybe a strikeout. I think I faced three times, so the stuff is there. Like, he's great. You know, just more or less maybe got lucky that night.
No, like, you're a young player. How old are you now? Are you 26, Austin?
27 today. It's my birthday.
Oh, man, happy birthday. We got Austin Riley on here on his 27th birthday.
Yeah.
What does it do to your psyche? What does it do to a humble kid from Mississippi psyche to see best third baseman in the game, top 20 prospect in all of Major League Baseball, top 15 players in all of baseball? I mean, like, a few years ago, you were playing minor leagues. A couple years before that, you're playing high school ball in Mississippi. What does that do to your psyche? Like, again, I keep using just another day at the office, but does it make you stop and think about, like, all the hard work paid off? I'm going to work harder to keep this going. I owe this to my mom and dad and my wife and my baby. My fans deserve to see the best Austin Riley product on the field. How does it equivalate to your everyday living when you hear those kind of accolades?
You know, it's obviously very, very humbling, and it's very cool. You know, I kind of look at it as they're just numbers. They don't really mean a whole lot. It's awesome to be recognized because, like you said, the hard work that, you know, for me personally, that I've come through to, you know, especially the defensive side, because I tell everybody I was in the minor leagues, I was terrible. Like, I've come a long way from a defensive standpoint. And just, you know, the way I look at it, it's, you know, I want to continue to show, you know, my fans and, you know, the Atlanta fans that, you know, I think there's still more in there. You know, I really do. I think there's, you know, I think there's a gold glove in there. I think there's, you know, I do think there's a potential MVP in there. So, you know, I feel like there's more that I can do to continue to better my game and, you know, hopefully bring a World Series back to Atlanta.
What does that look like defensively? How much time do you put in? I saw some videos of you doing some drilling, you know, before the game, pregame stuff. Is it hours a day of tedious defense work during spring training? And then once the season comes, you kind of, did you concentrate a lot on your defense in spring training when you're down in Florida? Do you get out early every day and take ground balls and pick drills and everything?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, out there at 7:30 every morning on the backfield doing my drills that Wash had taught me with Tui. And then, you know, like I said, it doesn't come easy for me, so I have to stay on top of it. So spring is a huge part of making sure that I'm locked in to, you know, where my steps are. Like I said, we're out there every morning from 7:30 to – we're pretty efficient on our work. We get it in, get it done, because, like I said, it's a long season, so we're just trying to make sure that we're prepared. But yeah, I mean, and then going into season, we stay on it, still doing our drills every day. I don't like to miss them. Ground balls, we implemented this year. Walt did a thing we call live fungo, which I tell you, like, in spring, we talk about as infielders, you know, you may go through, because you're not playing every day in spring. You're playing every other day early on. 5 innings, and then as you get closer to the actual season, you know, you're starting to play every day. But, you know, you may go a week without a ground ball in spring. So it's like, me personally, and you know, like I said, talking with some other guys, going into season, you know, if you were behind a little bit on anything, it's almost the defensive side, because you hadn't gotten those live rep ground balls. Like, you can't mimic them. So we implemented this year a live fungo, which was absolutely love. Like, I've never been more prepared from a defensive standpoint going into season, comfortable with hops, where we have our infield coach, basically somebody flipping them to him, and he's actually, like, swinging and like, hitting them hard, and you're getting those live rolls, the four top spins at third to this long hop, short hops. You know, you're able to work on your footwork, which has been really nice.
Getting off to a start like you are, I understand that a team like the Atlanta Braves is going to keep the pressure on. You don't want Philadelphia to ever get breathing room, and you don't want New York. You don't want the Marlins. Anybody in the division, you don't want to give them breathing room. You guys are off to a 3-1 start. being touted and being, you know, projected to be the National League East champion, go to the NLCS, go to the World Series. Talk to me about your mindset of recovery when it comes to the mental part of this game. We always hear how difficult and how mental baseball is. How hard is it for you to lose in the playoffs and the patience it takes to recover, family time, vacation time, maybe a little hunting time, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you got to get back to spring training because you're a champion. You guys are the world. You guys won the World Series. You guys don't lose in the playoffs. Stuff like this. How does that equate in your mind? Are you in a hurry to get back? Are you glad to see it over? I'm sure you would tell me it's harder to go into the offseason losing than it was to be a winner. Obviously it is. Yeah. How do you recover from a playoff loss personally? Does it take a few weeks to get over it and you're right back at it?
Obviously, first, the way it ended back-to-back years, that definitely puts a sour taste in your mouth. And I think, you know, I think there's two ways you can look at going through something like that, losing to the Phillies back-to-back years, first round. I think you could sulk and feel bad for yourself and blame the scheduling, blame, you know, whatever it may be. Or I think you could try to evaluate yourself personally as a team and try to learn, you know, yeah, you're upset that you lost, but also try to, you know, I think that in this game, it's a game of failure and you're trying to, every situation you're trying to learn from. And I think that's what you have to kind of look at it is like, yeah, we're disappointed, but we're also trying to learn something from there. So how, you know, going into next year, how do we not let this happen? And I think, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the first couple of weeks, yeah, you're salty, you know, in the off season, you know, trying to evaluate. And then, you know, you get some hunting in, you get some family time in, and then you start to, you know, how can I prepare to get better going into, how do I, you know, you start planning your off season regimen to when you're going to start working out, to when you're going to start hitting, throwing, what that looks like, how you're going to try to get better. And then, you know, like I said, once spring training rolls around, you know, it almost, you go through a whole off season of not trying to forget it, but moving on. And then it gets brought right back up as soon as you get to spring training, because that's the last, you know, media has talked to you is the postseason. And then, like I said, I think the only way you get by this is, you know, have another great season and then, you know, get to the playoffs and you know, you got to change the narrative, change the story yourself. And, you know, but like I said, you got to get through a 162 first. Everybody's got to be healthy. So
what is the overall team feeling when you're in spring training this year? Do you guys come back and does it take very long to gel when you get that time off? You leave in November, you come back in late January, February, spring training really gets going in mid-February. Does it take a while for the personalities to gel, or do you guys stay in touch in the offseason? Are most of the players friends on the team?
Oh yeah, we're all buddies. Got a really good group, and it takes zero time to gel and get back the camaraderie that we have in the clubhouse. So no, it didn't take anything. You know, guys, at that point, you know, you're excited to get back into the routines of the baseball world, spring, seeing everybody, seeing the guys, getting back together. So no, it didn't take any time.
When you have a guy like Acuna on the team that is touted as one of the top players in the game and 40 home runs, 70 stolen bases, doing things that hasn't really been seen in Major League Baseball. There's been 40-40 men. There's been great base stealers that don't hit 40 bombs. He's pretty badass. So are you watching every time he's at the plate because something special is going to happen? Or what kind of atmosphere does a player like that bring to an organization? Do you learn from him? Does he got a great approach? Is it his personality, his attitude? Does he ooze winning and championship to where you want to be part of that positive? What kind of guy is he?
He's great. Obviously, God has blessed him with unbelievable talents. I tell guys, I was like, if there was a league above the big leagues, you know, there's only a select few that get to that would make that team, and he's one of those. Because when he's on, he's so fun to watch. He's electric. You know, the cool thing with him is he can, whether he's, you know, on the bases, in the field, with his glove, with his arm, with his bat, with his feet, like he can change a game with literally everything that he has. Like it's just. It's so cool to watch. And, you know, I've been with him since low A. and see him kind of grow and mature as a player has been really cool. You know, I think he's talked a little bit about it. You know, he was injured that 2021 World Series run. And I think he's got an edge with him, you know, now that he wants to win a World Series and be, you know, really a part of that and have, you know, huge impacts. And he's so capable of that. And I think, you know, playing behind that and being a part of that is pretty cool.
In Austin Riley's mind, you mentioned a league above the major leagues that Ronald Acuña Jr. would be a part of. Who else in your eyes do you like to watch on SportsCenter that you don't want to miss an AB in a game against them? Who else is in that league above the major leagues in Austin Riley's opinion?
You know, Mookie Betts, the three, Shohei, Freddie, that we talked about earlier. You know, me personally being at third base, I'm obsessed with watching Nolan Arenado. I love his swing, love his game. I try to learn as much as possible from him. You know, there's others from drawing blanks.
Is Trout on there? In there?
Yeah, Trout's on there. I mean, there's a handful of guys that are on there that. Just when they get locked in and get going, like I said, they're in a league of their own. And it's just, you know, it's cool to be a part of, you know, as a MLB group, to be able to watch those guys play on a nightly basis.
A little bit tougher of a question, maybe. I don't know where Austin Riley stands this. I know that you're a country boy and I kind of know where you're at with this, but the politics of sports kind of get in the way for me to be like engaged in some instances. Last night's NCAA women's game, Iowa with LSU. When something happens like LSU walking off the court before the national anthem starts and Iowa stands and respects the flag and honors it, do you have to be careful in the way that you approach questions like this, the way you answer questions like this, Austin Riley? Do you have to just like be each of its own and respect where every person's coming from? Or can you say, hey, I'm a prideful American, I'm going to stand for the national anthem? How does it work in your mind when you're one of the faces of the Atlanta Braves?
You know, for me personally, you know, like I said, you got to respect everybody's opinion. I'm going to stand for the national anthem every time, but to each his own. And I've always told myself that I will never let politics get in the way of my game and the game that we play. We have a platform. We get paid a lot to do this. And I just think that it's our job to play the game of baseball. And, you know, for me personally, I try to keep politics out of it.
Is it difficult for you to – are you becoming a media guy? There's players that had reputations in major leagues that the media was kind of shut out. Barry Bonds was one of them. You know, he kind of was anti-media. Are you – very open with all of the writers away home games? Do you enjoy that part of the game, or does it get you off of your beat? Are most of the media respectful enough to where they do it in an approach that's, you know, respectful? Like I said, the timing's right. They know when and where to get you. I know some players like my buddy Charlie Blackman, the starting right, or like DH really for the Rockies most of the time. He doesn't like it once the game starts, in between the lines, spring training. There's always timing for them to be approachable by the media. What kind of personality and stance are you taking to your media time?
You know, they have a job. That's the way I look at it. I do think there's a fine line, like you said, in between the lines, during the game. But, you know, we have a great group of media that's, you know, that's with us, you know, all the time. And like I said, they have a job, and you know, it's our job as players to answer those questions that they have. You know, whether they're easy or hard questions, we have a job, and you know, we have to be accountable for that. So, like I said, whether they're easy or tough, whether you have a good game or a bad game and don't want to talk to media, you know, I feel like, you know, that's, we owe it to the game, and it's part of our job to answer those questions.
Do you wish you could play every game, 162 games in South Georgia, Central Georgia, Atlanta? Do you like being on the south side of Chicago and playing in cold weather where the bat's ringing in your hands? Do you like baseball in the cold? I don't even like watching it when it's cold out.
You know, I don't like it. I don't. I'll be brutally honest with you. It's not like the single that I hit to left yesterday, that I hit it off the end and my hands rang for about two innings after that. So, you know, and that's a, you know, unique question. Cause I think it is part of the game, but I think, you know, scheduling wise is like, we always talk. It's like, okay, we know it's 70 degrees in Atlanta. We know it's 30 degrees in Chicago. let's schedule.
Why are you putting that game up there in April instead of down here when we know it's going
to be?
Put it up there in July if you're going to make us go up there.
I don't know. It's like I said, but it's part of the, you know, they got to play in it. We got to play in it. So, you know, it changes things up, but it's, I definitely like playing baseball in the weather.
Yeah, warm weather. It's God,
the only time it should be cold and playing baseball is October baseball. I'll put it down.
And even does it get cold in Georgia in October? It doesn't even get real cold in
It can. We get like the rain, like the rainy cold is kind of what it is. So it can get a little chilly at times.
Austin, talk to me about that environment you get to play in. When I walked into that stadium last year, the surrounding area, the retail, it's just a beautiful spot for baseball. What does it do to you? Do you get giddy every day driving to the ballpark? Do you drive yourself to the ballpark, Austin Riley, or do you have a driver in a limousine every day? Like these people, I want to set the record straight of like, you actually have a truck and you drive into the stadium, right? And you live a pretty normal life, right, Austin?
No doubt. I'm driving a Chevy 2500. I drive myself to the truck. I live about as normal of a life as they come. I go eat my Mexican, drink my margarita. You know, I don't try to change, try to be as normal as possible. But, you know, our fans are one of a kind. They're the best. You know, like I said, driving to the yard every day, what they've done with the battery, there's nothing like it. You know, we're packing out weekdays. And, it you know, it's just something special. And until you've played and, you know, in front of it being, you know, on the home side, you know, them cheering you on, you know, that's one of a kind. And, you know, you wish as a ball player, everybody could experience that at some point.
I know you live a normal life, but if you can tell, have you splurged a little bit with the new contract? You're a deer hunter. So, yeah. I mean, it's every baseball hunter's dream that there's a country boy to buy their own farm someday. Did it come into fruition, Austin? Do you get to say, hey, I own some dirt in America now. I worked my butt off and now I get to cultivate this land and manage it for conservation and hunting and living off the land. Have you got to do something that you really always wanted to do?
Not yet. Still, it's in the works, though. I've looked at a couple pieces, just haven't come across the right piece, whether it's the amount of acres, right location. But that's, you know, I hadn't splurged on anything other than, you know, like I said, I'm looking for some land that I can call mine and hunt and grow the deer, the ducks, the turkey, and have my family and friends, you know, and enjoy that with me is a huge huge dream of mine. And like I said, just it's in the works, just trying to find the right piece is the key.
You mentioned Mexican food. I got to know, as a country boy, have you gotten more of a palate for maybe some sushi, maybe some different? A lot of people from Mississippi consider that as bait, I think, if that's the, if I remember right.
I actually ate sushi last night. I'm obsessed with it. I don't think I ate really sushi until I got into pro ball. So, you know, my palate has expanded. You know, back home in Mississippi, we got, you know, little town in Hernando, we got 4 Mexican restaurants. 2 of them are right by each other. So they're not many options. Like I said, it has grown from sushi to whatever it may be. So my palate has definitely expanded.
I'm bouncing around because I don't like to keep everything solid baseball because I could geek out on baseball, but you always have to geek out on baseball. I like to know some of the fun things or the thoughts that go through a person's mind. Like you, when you see the slide the other night, help me remember, I believe it was Chicago, the Cubs against, do you know the slide in the second base I'm talking about?
No, it was the Brewers Mets.
Oh yeah, Brewers Mets.
McNeil and Hoskins.
Hoskins, yes. Did Hoskins go in too hard this time of the year? Is that a playoff slide? Is that playing baseball?
I don't think so. We actually had the way I look at it, we had a thing with McNeil. There's a picture with when Vaughn Grisham was with us. He's like 2 feet to the outside part of second base, maybe even 3-4 feet. And McNeil's like sliding right into him, like not even really close to the base. So, you know, I think it was a very competitive, aggressive slide. They challenged it. It didn't get overturned saying it was an aggressive slide or out of balance. So I'm here for it. Like I said, I totally understand protecting players and you know, making sure we stay safe. But at the same time, I think there's a fine line of playing competitive rough bet. I saw a ton of, which I absolutely love. I saw a ton of stuff when that slide came out of like back in the 70s, 80s of videos of guys going in and just absolutely getting rocked at second base. So it's definitely, the game's changed, but I don't think it was bad at all.
When you said that about the 70s and 80s, Will Clark going into second base with Ozzie Smith and the Cardinals in Busch Stadium, Pete Rose all the time, is that the way that your dad probably loved that style of baseball? You probably got a lot of people that your dad's age and maybe my age that was a great way to play baseball. I went hard every single time. Do you wish that the game still had that? Has sports got too protective? The NFL just made another law on a tackling style that's been forbidden now. Are we softening sports, or is it good for the athlete that they can be protected in some way, or are they protected too much?
I have a tough time with this one because, you know, I totally understand protecting players, but at the same time, you almost are kind of changing the style of how guys play whenever you put those rules in from a football standpoint of guys just can't go in, like they want to. And so I have a tough time wrapping my head around it because I understand the side of protecting players. But at the same time, like I said, you're almost changing the style of play, you know, when you're taking these rules to how far they are. So it's a tough one. I like I said, because I do love the old style of play, you know, the game monitoring itself. So I don't know. It's a tricky one.
I mean, you're taught to run through first base. You're taught to break up a double play. You're taught to go in hard at second base. That's how we were taught. I do agree with you that you're kind of changing the style of play that a lot of these players may have been, you know, taught or instructed on coming up as a youth. I get that these organizations are banking on these players being off of the DL and performing and filling the seats. And That's why they're starters. So it is kind of a weird mindset of what should be allowed and what shouldn't be.
Yeah, there's a very gray area of like, where do you stop? Like, where do you draw the line? Because like, we got a rule implemented this year that if you're essentially in the way of the base runner and the baseline, they're calling that it's, you know, you're blocking the bag, the runner gets the base. So, you know, it's making it hard for us on, you know, almost changing the way runners that are coming from second to third, balls in the, you know, in the outfield, Ronnie's throwing me the ball from center, like how I set up on the bag, it's changing. I've had to completely change the way I approach that from making sure that I don't, because as a third baseman, you really like on those plays that are coming from the outfield to third, you really don't. Like you have a general idea where the bag is, but you really don't know where it is just because it's like the play's happening so fast. The ball, you don't know where the ball is going. You're trying to put yourself in a position to where you can see the ball and you can see the runner. You know, you don't want the ball to cross the runner. So you're trying, there's so many factors that go in. And now you have this rule where, you know, if you step in the baseline as he's trying to make his slide, if the ball's taking you that way, like you have no chance, like he's automatically safe because you were in the baseline. You know, it's interesting. So we'll see how it goes. You know, it's a judgment call and it's not reviewable. So I think that's going to make it even harder for us because, like I said, you can't review it. So we'll see. But it's crazy, these rules that they're, you know, implementing to keep guys safe. But like I said, I definitely think there's a gray area there.
We're going to break here for a few commercials. I'm fired up. I appreciate y'all being here.
The Dodgers may have a stacked deck, but Austin Riley is ready for the duel.
This Dodgers lineup, three former MVPs is the top three in the lineup. Is it too much what the Dodgers have done?
I think we're the only brand, you know, MLB that doesn't have a salary cap. It allows teams to go spend what they want. No way I look at it, it's a really good team and we get to play them. So two really good teams going after it. It's great baseball.
Jack Daniels presents This Life Ain't For Everybody is powered by Bad Boy Mowers. Mow with an attitude. Find their powerful line of tractors, mowers, and tools at badboycountry.com. Don't go anywhere. Pour yourself an old number 7, and we'll be right back.
going on, everybody? Chad Belling coming at you. The Foul Life Podcast is proudly presented by the one and only Bad Boy Mowers. Out of the great state of Arkansas, their zero-turn design and capability is zero to none. I've had these mowers everywhere from California to Georgia, from North Dakota to South Texas. We've put them in situations where they completely perform day in and day out with their power, the sharpness of the blades. Every single bit of that zero-turn capability gives you the advantage, gives you the confidence to get the job done. And now they have added tractors. Our tractors are doing projects for us on a daily basis. All of our duck properties, all of our different dwellings where we live, where we make our livings, we depend on the Bad Boy tractor to get the job done as well. And now you can depend on the Bad Boy power in their new E series of hand tools. The blower, the trimmer, pull saw, the chainsaw, the backpack blower. We use these blowers in our goose and duck decoy trailers throughout the season, all over the country, blowing out debris, branches, mud, leaves, making sure that we are working in a well-manicured, clean environment is our goal, and that's why we have partnered and depend on everything Bad Boy. Again, out of the state of Arkansas, their mowers are American-made. We depend on them. I hope you do, too. Next time you're in the market for anything that Bad Boy offers, I promise you, you can depend on them. Bad Boy Mowers, the presenting sponsor of Benelli's The Foul Life. Hey, everybody, you know we are a huge fan of Jack Daniel's, not just their product, but their mission, their culture, Lynchburg, Tennessee, the people. And we want to introduce you to the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. Join us at jackdaniels.com and learn about the Single Barrel Program, visiting Lynchburg, Tennessee, participating in a barrel tasting, a whiskey tasting, picking your favorite flavor, whether it's the burn in your mouth, whether it's the maple, whether it's the different combination of flavors that you are going to experience in each of the distinct bottles of Jack Daniel's Single Barrel. You're going to be able to choose the best one, your favorite one, and purchase that entire barrel. It all comes bottled in individual single barrel bottles. You get your own hanging name tag, brand tag, your logo on it. You can give them away as gifts. Go knock on the door of a landowner and say, thank you for letting me hunt your field. There's so many options with the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. We're proud to be part of it. We have introduced it to so many of our friends and family across the country, whether it was at a business, whether it was at a duck lodge, whether it was at a conservation event. It is truly an awesome program. Learn more about it at jackdaniels.com. The Single Barrel Program. We've been involved for the last 5 years. I'm looking at two of my barrels right now. We just got our 2023 barrel in the single barrel rye. Absolutely mesmerizing. My brother Clint's old fashions with it speak for themselves. It's the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. Check it out. Learn about it. I hope you decide to visit Lynchburg, Tennessee and get your own barrel. Thank you very much. Being in the backyard at camp, being with friends and family, one thing that the pandemic did is it got us back in our backyards. It got us staying home more. And man, we just started doing so many cookouts, so much grilling. And we've been partnered with Traeger Grills for the last decade. And I don't know if you can be more innovative than what this brand has done, from the new Timberline XL and the new Flat Rock, the Ironwood 885, all of their pellets, their rubs, their sauces, their glazes, their smash burger kit, you name it. Traeger Grills is awesome. And we use them a ton. I'm sure you've seen it on The Foul Life. You've seen it in our social media. Get creative. Be innovative. Think outside of the box. Wild game, domestic, vegetables, desserts, pizzas. You can do it all on a Traeger grill. And like I mentioned, that Timberline XL with that conduction plate, I'm talking high heat, reverse sear steaks, anything you want to put on there gets it done in a hurry after you put a little smoke on them on the grill. Transfers right over. So easy. Everything is simplified. You can download the Traeger Grills app. You can find recipes. You can work with pros like Matt Pittman at Meat Church and Chad Ward at Whiskey Bent Barbecue and so many others from across the country to master these recipes. It's simple, and that's what Traeger is all about. They did not want your backyard experience to be complex. So when you're thinking of fun and good food and flavor recipes, thinking outside the box, think no further than Traeger Grills. I can't wait to get back in my Traeger grill, just cook up something delicious. Thank you all very much. I think lighting is everything. I don't like being in the dark. I don't even like secrets being told. That's kind of keeping you in the dark, isn't it? I don't like setting up decoys in the dark. I don't like looking for anything in the dark. Turn your headlights and drive down the street. Obviously, it's impossible. Lighting is everything. A well-lit room, a well-lit hunt. They make your decoys look better when that sun's shining on them. Mallards perform different, and we perform better and differently when we have our rigid light bars, all of the rigid lights on our trailer, when we can see what we are doing, setting up our blinds, concealing our blinds, setting up our spread, exact distance from a fence or a tree line that we want to be. When you can brighten up the night, brighten up those early mornings, I'm telling you, it makes your hunting success go way up. The odds are in your favor when you put Rigid on your trucks, in your bumpers, in your light bars. Check them out at rigidindustries.com. I can't say enough about their LED technology. It is the best. It's often imitated, but never duplicated. I know you've heard that before, but there is nothing like Rigid lights. R-I-G-I-D. You'll find them on all of our Corning Ford Fords, all of our rigs, all of our trailers, on the noses, on the sides, on the back door. When we turn on our lights on our trucks and trailers, we ignite the field and we ignite the hunt. And that's exactly what Rigid Industry does. It ignites our passion for the outdoors. The official LED light bar and lights of the Foul Life podcast and Benelli's The Foul Life TV. See them in action right now, exclusively on the Outdoor Channel. Brand new episodes, season 15 of Benelli's The Foul Life. Thank you so much, Rigid, and thank you all for supporting the brands and partners that support us.
You're back on Jack Daniels Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody with Chad Belding, with special guest Atlanta Braves third baseman Austin Riley. And this episode is being fueled by Bad Boy Mowers. Mow with an attitude.
You almost are changing the style of how guys play. Now you have this rule where, you know, if you step in the baseline as he's trying to make his slide, he's automatically safe because you were in the baseline.
Austin reveals his takeaway from fellow Braves third baseman Chipper Jones.
The biggest thing that I take from Chipper is just the way he attacked the mental side of the game.
And talks about building toward a World Series season.
I feel like there's more that I can do to continue to better my game and, you know, hopefully bring a World Series back to Atlanta.
Thanks to Lear Toppers, Resist All, Napa Valley Olive Oil, and Mickey Thompson Tires for supporting This Life Ain't For Everybody. Back to Chad and Austin.
You're not known as a hothead. What's the worst thing you've said to an umpire?
What's the worst?
Do you ever get into them a little bit when they miss a call?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, the way I look at it, I got to deal with them the next day at third base. You know, they're down there the next day. So we have to, you know, to me, I think we have a really good group of umpires that do a really great job. There's a few that, you know, or whatever. But the worst thing that I've ever said, you know, it definitely had a cuss word in it, I'm sure. You know, like I said, I don't say a whole lot. You know, I think I was probably like, we got to be effing better than that. you know, like I said, they have a hard job, and I get that. And the way I look at it, the call is the call, and it's not getting changed whether I say what I want to say or what I don't want to say. But, you know, I've let a few words go that I'll probably regret a little bit. But, you know, the cool thing about it is also the umpires, you know, some of them will, you know, they'll come out, then, you know, like I said, being with them the next day, if they do miss one, you know, I've had umpires, hey, man, I apologize about that call yesterday. I missed it. So, you know, there's some really good ones. Like I said, they have the hardest job to me, you know, calling balls and strikes. So I try to give them the benefit of the doubt most of the time.
What kind of man is Coach, the manager of the Braves, Snitker? Is he a friend to you? Is he a mentor? Is he a CEO that just kind of overlooks the team? Is he in there coaching every day? Does he have theories? What does a baseball manager do when he's dealing with 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds? Do they really need to coach at that level? Like, what does he do? I mean, the strategies, that's a big time, you know, managing the bullpen, managing the play clock, all of that stuff. What kind of man is he? Do you love playing for him?
I love playing for Snit. You know, he's got a lot on his plate from, like you said, the strategy of how he's going to handle the bullpen, the rotation, the bench guys. You know, I think the best thing and the biggest thing that I can say about him is just his presence is what is so, to me, so huge that he does great with. You know, there's no panic ever. And I think, you know, that's what we've kind of feed off of is – you never see our manager panic, whether we're down. You know, he's always kind of, you know, this level, same guy. And, you know, like I said, that then feeds off of us. And he knows, I think the cool thing about him is he lets us play. He, you know, he says in the spring, he's like, I know you guys are going to do your work. You guys are going to prepare the way you're supposed to. you guys show up every day and work your butt off. And I think that's what's cool is, like I said, he just lets us go out there, play our game. And those two combos of letting us play and then him having a presence that is even keel and trusts in us and is very knowledgeable of the game, you know, it's great playing behind him.
If not him, who would you like, Austin Riley? Is there one manager out there that you came up in the minor leagues with that's gotten promoted? Is there a manager out there that if it wasn't Snit that you say, man, I'd love to play for that guy?
If there was one, you know, I'd probably say, you know, just because he's had such an impact, he's had so much impact on my career and you know, as Wash. You know, he's with the Angels now, but the one thing I say about him is he just cares about everybody. It doesn't matter if you have one day in the big leagues or 15 years, you know, he treats everybody the same and the attention to detail. And like I said, the main thing is how much he's impacted my career from a defensive standpoint and just an overall, I think that would be pretty cool to play behind.
Speaking of the Angels, and we mentioned a guy that might be at the league above the major leagues, according to Austin Riley. Is there rumor that Mike Trout might be a Brave? Did I just see that the other day, or was I dreaming that up?
That's the first I've heard of it.
Is it the first you've heard of it?
Yeah.
Was I dreaming that?
Maybe. I hadn't seen that.
Why would I even say that?
I
have some weird dreams.
I thought he came out and said, I'm riding or dying with the Angels.
36 minutes ago, Major League Baseball pundit predicts Braves trade for Mike Trout at the deadline. I saw this 2 days ago. There was like several reports. I saw it on MLB.
We got a pretty good center fielder in Mike Harris.
I know this. I'm just saying, I saw that and I was like, it said, will Mike Trout become an Atlanta Brave? And it was 2 days ago. And then this one says 36 minutes ago, they just predicted it again.
Anything can happen. I would be very shocked if that was the case, but we'll see.
Mike Trout, he will end the summer as an Atlanta Brave. He's going to get traded to the Braves. And I say that because Mike Trout is unhappy with the direction the Angels are going. They have given him an unbelievable amount of money. He's going to be making $35.5 million annually until 2030. He's in line to make a bunch more money. He keeps getting injured, though. However, he's still a very good baseball player, as evidenced by what happened on opening day, and the Angels are headed in the other direction. They didn't try when he asked them to add more this offseason. They went ahead and did not do that. So it's exactly what we're talking about. Is he happy with the Angels or not? But I saw that a couple days ago and I was like, damn, that'd be a powerhouse move.
That would be – it would take a lot to get Mike Trout. So I don't know. My gut's telling me that I don't think that happens, but time will tell.
Who do you – you can't fanboy out in your position. I get that. You can't be pregame. I saw Ohtani hug Mike Trout this year. They were ex-teammates. Is there anybody that you've always been like, man, if I see him out during, you know, warm-ups, I'm going to go say hello. I'm going to tell him I love his game. Or is it always that you have a history with somebody and you played with them in the minors and they may have been, you know, do you ever see some, would Mike Trout be a guy that you would make an attempt or put effort into? Is there anybody that Austin Riley would be like, yeah, I'm going to go say hi to that guy because I got mad love for his game?
You know, for me, it was, you know, obviously, you know, when I see Dansby playing with him, you know, so when we go to Chicago or he comes there, I always make a point to go say what's up to him. You know, for me, it was, Albert Pujols. Like I said, I grew up an Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina fan. So when those guys were playing, you know, every chance I got to say what's up, you know, I did. I think the coolest thing is just getting to play against all these great players. And just, you know, seeing their game. So, like I said, those are the couple. So,
have you ever exchanged a jersey, signed a jersey for a player, a bat, or exchanged bats, anything? Like, is your memorabilia collection grown a little bit, Austin, of these players that you want in that collection?
Yeah, it's grown a little bit. You know, I got Evan Longoria, you know, a jersey from him. I feel like I've done a bad job, honestly, of it. And me and a buddy of mine, I think it was Travis, we were talking about it. I was like, I got to start getting jerseys of all these great players that I'm playing with. I'm just not you can ask my wife, you can ask my mom. I'm not a sentimental guy for whatever reason. So it's like, I don't collect a whole bunch of things. You know, I'm not a hoarder. I'm not going to, when I'm 85, 90 years old, you're not going to come into my house and I'm going to have every wall filled. I don't know. I think for me, it's, you know, I've always been, I don't take a whole lot of pictures. I like to soak up those memories and moments in the real, in the flesh. And just, you know, like I said, have those in those, that memory bank is what's cool for me.
Do you practice that in your personal life too? Like, I'm sure that your wife is all about the Easter pictures with the family. If you get a nice buck in Mississippi, you get a little picture with Tyler Jordan or Bill Jordan. Do you try to do better in your personal life of off the field of keeping those memories with photography and stuff? Or if you kill a nice buck or a good turkey, can you just walk out of the field and not even care that it happened? Like, I know you care, but do you not take time to set up a nice picture?
No. Yeah. I think my wife does a great job. We've had pictures at the beach this spring of us, and then we had some off-season pictures taken, you know, being with Tyler and them. They do a great job. But, you know, really, when I'm by myself, I do a pretty poor job, especially hunting. You know, I have them in my phone, but that's really about it. I may take a picture, you know, me behind it, one or two of them, and then that's it. But like I said, I think just, you know, having those, like my brother, the coolest thing that I did this offseason, you know, from a hunting standpoint, was I was with my brother when he shot his buck, like his first true big buck. And like experiencing that, we didn't have a camera, we didn't have nothing, just the raw moments that we had together when he shot it, going to recover it. And then, you know, then we took some pictures. I think that's what's, to me, that's what I hold dear, is like I said, having those memories that way.
I had the great Bill Jordan on the show last week. I had him on the Foul Life podcast, not This Life Ain't For Everybody, Austin Riley. And he told the story the first time he met you, and it was a turkey hunt and you went on a golf cart. No, it was a deer hunt. You went on a golf cart with him and Tyler went the other direction. And he just said, man, this kid was so well-mannered. You were still in the minors, I believe.
Yeah.
And he told this story about being in a restaurant with Coach Ned Yost.
Yeah.
And Yost goes and called him back over there. And he's like, dude, this kid's the real deal. Like, first round draft pick. And they were all geeking out over Austin Riley being in the little Georgia cafe. Do you remember that day?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was awesome. Like I said, it just, being in that restaurant, like I said, a little small town, Bill knows, you know, knows everybody in the restaurant. It's kind of like I said, that is like that small town that I grew up on. And just, you know, like I said, me personally growing up, loving the outdoors, watching Bill like hunt all the time. And then, you know, getting to go to his piece of property with Tyler, getting to have dinner with him, you know, meeting Ned Yost. And like I said, just that, it was like a dream come true. It was like, from a hunting standpoint, it was like, dang, I made it. This is like the big leagues for me from a hunting standpoint, getting to hunt with Tyler and Bill. And then, like I said, going to dinner, that was like my debut.
It's a weird thing that a major leaguer that what you become would get, have that kind of humility. It's not weird. It's just awesome to see that those guys mean something to you, of coming up, watching Monster Bucks, watching TNN, or watch whatever you were watching the Jordan family on, and what the Realtree family was doing. That's how I am about Bill. Having him on the show last week, I was like, man, I've made it, man. I got freaking, I mean, I made it having Austin Riley, but I had Bill Jordan on my hunting podcast, and I got to talk about how he started the company and how it, you know, just the whole history and culture. It's like, man, I'm doing something if Bill's taking time out of his day for me. You know what I mean?
No doubt. No doubt. And like I said, I think it's just, you know, you watch the shows growing up and then you meet him in person and how humble he is and how, you know, I'll be on the phone with Tyler in the off season and Bill will be in the background. He's like, hey man, if you ever need anything from at Ole Miss, like going to hit like a facility, like he's always like opening up, like if you ever need anything. And like, you know, that's how I was raised and how I want to, you know, be as a person, and just seeing somebody of that stature in the outdoor world and how humble he is. I think that's what's so cool.
I do too. I just, if people learn or took the time to learn what he did since 1986 and the chance he took, the ups and downs of growing a business the way he has, and still to be in his 70s and to be in that office every day and working the way he does, it just shows. Have you had any oh shit moments in the major leagues, Austin Riley? Going to LA, did you meet an actor? Have you met like a famous Atlanta rapper? Have you met Lil Wayne? Have you met somebody that you're like, oh man, that was cool?
Luke Combs came to our clubhouse 2 years ago, and that was like, oh wow. Like,
that's cool. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Morgan Wallen wore your jersey on stage.
Yeah, that I didn't know that was happening, but that was pretty cool.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't. Like I said, my buddies were just like, he's like, hey, look at this. I was like, it's not bad.
Have you ever met Morgan?
No, never met Morgan. Been to a concert, but absolutely. I've been to Luke Holmes twice, and it's my favorite.
I'm going to see him with Cody Jinks next month.
He's so good. And like I said, he is good. To the clubhouse and hung out with the guys. That was probably like, wow, this is a little taken back by it, but it was awesome. Another one, 2021 World Series after party, Jason Aldean shows up, which was pretty cool.
Oh man, he's a Georgia boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was those type of, you're just not expecting it. You're just like, it's like, you like do a double take. You're like, is that really?
I would like to know how Morgan Wallen ends up with an Austin Riley 27 jersey. I know he's playing the stadium. Do they go in and the Braves just give him that one because it fits, or does he request Austin Riley?
So he wore an Ozzy jersey like the next night. So I don't know if he was just like rotating them like each night, just wearing a different jersey. But I'm glad I was one of the lucky ones.
That's pretty freaking cool, dude.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, I don't know how good or how big he's going to get, but that dude is on a trajectory that's – I've never seen it in music, like what he's doing as a male country music artist. Like, nuts. He's breaking Garth Brooks records.
Crazy.
He's doing big stuff. And he's a he wrote a song, I think, called the 98 Braves, didn't he? Didn't he have a song about the Braves?
Yeah, it was whenever – it's kind of like what we're going through right now where we couldn't get past it's a great song, but not good for the Braves.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's about, yeah. Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was the Chipper days. How is Chipper? Was he cool? Was Chipper good to see at spring training? Was he at spring training this year? Do you get to talk to Chipper quite a bit?
He wasn't at spring this year for whatever reason, but no, Chipper's been great, getting to talk to a Hall of Famer and, the success that he's had. You soak up everything. I always tell everybody the biggest thing that I take from Chipper is just the way he attacked the mental side of the game, how he was playing chess and everybody was playing checkers, is the way I put it. He was playing that game inside of the game. He's always a couple steps ahead of his opponent, and that was pretty cool to hear some of the stuff that he had to say.
Hall of Famer, man. It's a Hall of Famer. You're going to be a Hall of Famer. What is your day like right now? You're at a hotel. Yeah. You're at about 10 in the morning right now. You play the White Sox again today?
Yeah, we got a 6:40 game. They've already banged BP, so we've pushed the bus times back.
Because of the weather?
Yeah, it's raining right now. It's supposed to rain all night. I don't know what's going to happen. So, yeah, just chill, drink some coffee, FaceTime Anna and little one. He's we hurry up and wait a lot of the time, especially on the road. A lot of downtime, but may get out if it stops raining. May get out and do some shopping, walking around, but that's about it. Watch some hunting videos and call it a day. Get ready for our game tonight.
Can you walk around in public in Atlanta, Austin?
Yeah, like I said, I get recognized, which is pretty cool, but it's kind of back to what I was saying. I'm not going to change. I'm going to go eat my Mexican restaurant when I want my Mexican restaurant. I'm going to go eat my burger spot when I want my burger spot. I'm going to go downtown and eat at a steak restaurant when I want steak. Like I said, it's just a cool part about getting to do what I do. And, I try to stay as humble as possible and not change just because, I might get noticed here and there out in Atlanta.
Yeah, I love that about you. I remember going to eat with you in San Francisco and us walking up and down the streets to find a place to eat after a Giants game that night with my brother. Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. I got to say this real quick, if you don't mind. My girlfriend is named Anna. She's from Georgia. You met her in Colorado last year. Her daughter is Hallie Jo, a.k.a. Tater. She's a huge Austin Riley fan. And my daughter, Alyssa Riley, is a huge Austin Riley fan. I want to bring him to a game and meet you someday, Tater and Alyssa. But you're going to love this. Tater is going, Tyler Farr, who's just a great country music musician from Missouri. Guy walks into a bar, redneck crazy, whiskey and water. Boots.
I've done some duck hunting with him.
Great guy, right?
Yeah, he's the best.
Tater is going to get to go this Thursday. He's playing in Gainesville, Georgia, and Tater is going to get to go up on stage with him to sing A Guy Walks Into a Bar.
Oh, that's sick.
with her guitar.
Oh, she plays.
Yeah, she plays too.
Oh, that's awesome there.
I saw Tyler last week at spring training. I was down in Arizona and he had a show in Phoenix. So I went and checked out his show and he's just a good human being, man.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Farr.
Yeah. You gotta get him because, you know, he's got that deep, raspy kind of voice.
Oh, yeah.
This has been like 4 or 5 years ago now. But we were duck hunting. And like I said, you know, he was talking about his, I guess they have like a sing coach or something.
Voice coach.
And he was telling him that the voice coach was like trying to get him to talk normal. And you got to get him to do it. Like when he tries to talk, it's the funniest thing. And he may not remember it, but I still remember it to this day. I was like my stomach was hurting. It was so funny. But good dude.
Yeah, he's trying to get the voice coach is trying to get rid of that rasp. So
yeah.
I guess that's gonna be hilarious. I gotta ask him.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else, my man? Are you fired up for the year? Is it different than any other year? Anything to end on? What's your walkout song right now? What's in your earbuds right now? Are you all country? You listen to a little hip hop? And what are you streaming right now when you're with the wife? I assume it's always hunting videos when you're on your own, but
yeah. You know, like I said, mainly country to Morgan, to Luke Holmes, to whatever, you know, it may be from the countryside. I do bounce around. Like I said, when I get in the games, it's a little hip hop, love throwback 2000s hip hop, you know, some, and then I'll bounce around to literally anything, Stevie Nicks, Bob Seger, all those, you know, artists. It just depends on what I'm feeling. Walk up songs, What You Know by T.I., Atlanta boy. So that's where I'm at.
Is T.I. from Atlanta?
Think so, right?
Oh, that's God, cool. Dang it. I didn't know that. I love that song,
you'll
though.
You'll have to fact check me, but I'm...
I am right now. Have you ever heard that song that he did with Eminem? What was that song called? If you're a T.I. fan, you got to listen to it. It's
I'm sure I've heard it.
That's All She Wrote.
That's All She Wrote?
Dude, you got to listen to that today. That song is a banger. Okay, T.I. is from?
It's got to be Atlanta.
Born and raised in Atlanta.
That's what I thought. I knew I was right.
You know, I lost a bet in a rapper in Atlanta. I thought Lil Wayne was from Atlanta, and he's from New Orleans. I bet I lost $20 that he was from Atlanta.
Love that.
I thought he was from Atlanta for sure.
Hey, there's a bunch
of them. There are a bunch of them. Austin Riley, you the man, buddy. I want you to kill it this year. You always are. You're on the board with the home run. Did it take longer than you wanted it to?
I try not to overthink it. It's game four. I try not to overanalyze this early. You know, you definitely want to get one in Philly, like just the rivalry there. You want to put it on them as much as you can. So was I hoping for one in Philly? Yes. Did it not happen? And I can live with that. So it's a long season. So
I love watching. I can't wait for you to be out west. I'm going to come check out some games. It's the great Austin Riley. I can't wait to see you again, brother. We're going to get on a little duck hunt also.
For sure. I know we've been trying, so we got to line it up soon.
All right, give me a second to sign off. That's the great Austin Riley, starting third baseman for the Atlanta Braves. It's baseball season, everybody. It's the greatest time of the year besides the holidays. I'm a fall winter guy. I love Christmas. I love Halloween. I love Thanksgiving. I love family. But, man, there's something about the crack of the bat and being in the battery in Atlanta watching the Braves play. There's just something about a baseball field. I love going to our AAA team right here, of an affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Reno Aces. I just love everything about the game of baseball. I wish I would have been a good enough athlete to make it to the major leagues. I was not, but I'm very honored to have friends like Austin Riley and other major league players that keep my head in the game. I honor their friendships, and I also respect what they do because this game is so hard to get to the level that Austin and I just discussed. And for him to say that there's another level that Acuna would be in, I think that you're in that other level, Austin. You are the best third baseman in the game. Congratulations on the early success. This is going to be an amazing career to watch. You've been listening to This Life Ain't For Everybody. Any closing words, Austin Riley?
I appreciate you for having me as always. Till next time.
That's the great Austin Riley. Hold on one sec, Austin. Thank you to Jack Daniel's Original Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey. Enjoy it responsibly. Never allow underage drinking. Lean on Jack Daniel's a little bit this summer as you're watching some of these baseball games with the man, Austin Riley. And remember, again, I'm going to say it, enjoy it responsibly. Chad Belding, Austin Riley, This Life Ain't For Everybody. We'll be back at you with another episode. Peace.
Braves fact. Austin Riley is one of only six Atlanta Braves players ever to produce three consecutive 30-homer seasons.
Riley in the air to left field. On the run, Marsh. There it goes! Austin Riley! As clutch as it gets.
What does it take to hit a home run in the major leagues, Austin?
You know, I've been blessed with, you know, being bigger and got the strength. So for me, it's just having a good plan when I go up there. And most of the time, my homers come when I'm just trying to get a base hit.
Bad Boy Mowers, Nashville Palace, and Deemer Box bring you this episode of This Life Ain't For Everybody with Chad Belding and MLB Atlanta Braves third baseman, Austin Riley. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
We've had the provider mentality for a long time. Growing up and watching dad and mom cook wild game, whether it was an Italian lasagna or a spaghetti, I watched in awe and I couldn't wait to be old enough to do it. Then we got to travel and meet all of these different chefs at all these different lodges in Argentina and Uruguay or Paraguay or Arkansas or Missouri, or Chef Mark Lindsay, who you hear on the podcast, This Life Ain't For Everybody, a lot up in Minnesota at Trapper's Landing, part of the Reed's family of brands. And I started to learn so many different unorthodox, out-of-the-box ways of preparing Mr. Billy Bogey's smothered deer steak at Prairie Wings Duck Club in Arkansas, or the duck empanadas at Duck Guides of Argentina. And they all became part of the Provider Cookbook, the Provider Mentality. At theproviderlife.com, our rubs, our original 10 in the Ultimate Pack, including the swine and the flaky, the spawn, the drop time, the fowl, the crosshairs, the brit, the dragon, the sonora. Then we introduced the brand beef rub and the mother clucking chicken rub. And you can find recipes at theproviderlife.com. Check out the Provider TV on the My Outdoor TV app, Mo TV, part of the Outdoor Sportsman's Group and the Outdoor Channel family of brands. We got more coming. We got so much more coming. Good luck out in the field. Good luck out on the rivers. I hope you get those wild turkey nuggets in that pickle juice right away and getting ready to throw down with some different rubs on them. The Provider Lifestyle. We're so honored to live it. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be outdoorsmen, hunter gatherers, conservationists, and providers. Again, theproviderlife.com. Thank you for visiting. Have you heard of the Fun Button? FlaskCap has reinvented the way we use tumbler cups. Everybody's got a tumbler cup. Come on, let's admit it. This tumbler cup is different. The Matic lid is different. The 6, the 9. Nobody wants glass in their boat. Nobody wants glass anywhere because of what can go wrong. If you go into your buddy's boat and glass breaks, that's a no-no. So you got your mixers in the cooler. You might have a 2-liter of Coca-Cola, Classic, Coke Zero. You might have some club soda in a plastic bottle or a can. Stuff that doesn't break and get glass that's nasty and will cut your feet up like no tomorrow. The FlaskCap allows you to store your spirits, your Jack Daniels, in that Matic lid. And with one touch of that Fun Button, it disperses a shot into your mixer, down there with your ice, your Coke, whatever it is. You can have vodka, you can have gin, you can have tequila. We choose Jack Daniel's Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey, and you have your cocktail for the day. Remember to enjoy it in moderation. Never allow underage drinking. Be safe. But FlaskCap supports the culture of the American outdoorsman, the American outdoor enthusiast. And they keep it safe, they keep it ethical, and they keep it fun. The entire brand, the culture, the messaging is exactly what we're all about here at The Foul Life. We're proud and honored to be teamed up with FlaskCap. Check them out at FlaskCap, FlaskCap.com. And you are going to be so happy and take pride. Get your name on it. Get your logo engraved on it. Again, it's all about moderation. It's all about safety. Be careful with that Fun Button. One is enough. Two can be a lot of fun. Three is way too many. But you're going to keep that glass out of the boat, off of those beaches, and you're going to have a blast consuming alcohol through the FlaskCap. Again, thank you for supporting FlaskCap. I'm Chad Belding with the Foul Life Podcast and the Foul Life Television. Thank you all very much. I love snacks. I love protein. I love having it at my disposal at all times. You never know when you're going to get hungry. You never know when that hunt is going to go longer, that drive is going to go longer. Why not make sure that you have a high protein enriched snack like Jack Link's jerkies, whether it's the sticks, whether it's the cold craft, whether it's the traditional jerky, the flavors, the freshness, the packaging, the design, the entire culture of this business built with Mr. Jack himself, his son Troy. They support the American hunter. They're American brand, living the American dream, and they deserve it. I love their snacks, their flavors. I can go into all of them, but there's the dill pickle. There's the teriyaki, the original, the peppered, sweet and hot. I can keep going on the cold craft side, the salamis, the cheeses. Unbelievable innovation into the way snacks should be. No carbohydrates, low in sugar, great flavor, high in protein. Build that muscle. Make sure that you support the companies and products that support us here. And Jack Links is the official snack of the Foul Life podcast and Benelli's The Foul Life TV. Gator coolers, the drinkware, the coolers, the 45, the 70, the 110, on wheels. Keep that meat fresh. Keep those drinks cold. Ice for days. The retention, the design, the attention to detail, just how cool they are aesthetically. It's just a great American brand out of the great state of Louisiana. The McGehee brothers, my boy Brian, they are kicking butt. The official cooler and drinkware of the Foul Life Television and the Foul Life Podcast. I can't say enough. I love opening a Gator cooler and seeing it full of our bounty. Wings on if we're traveling. Possession limits only. Everything ethical. But I love eating wild game, and I love making sure that it's fresh. And that's exactly what a Gator cooler allows the hunter or fisher to do. I don't take it for granted. I travel with several of them in our trucks and trailers. We have snacks in them. We have drinks in them. They come with cutting boards. They do not leak. They do not allow air into it. Their design is absolutely perfect, and they are reinventing the way that people take care of their food, their bounty, and they support Ducks Unlimited, California Waterfowl Association, so many conservation agencies across the country. You can find them at the NWTF convention in Nashville, Tennessee this coming February 2024 as part of our booth. We don't go anywhere without Gator. They are cold-blooded down to the core, the official cooler of the Foul Life Television and the Foul Life Podcast. Get you a Gator for this season. I promise you, it's going to keep your meat fresher.
You've been listening to Jack Daniels Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody with Chad Belding, with special guest MLB Atlanta Braves third baseman Austin Riley, and it was powered by Bad Boy Mowers and Tractors.
Austin Riley, you the man, buddy.
Chad Belding, Austin Riley, This Life Ain't For Everybody. We'll be back at you with another episode. Peace.
Listen to new and archived episodes of This Life Ain't For Everybody anytime on SoundCloud, iHeart, Spotify, and thislifeaintforeverybody.com. Go Braves.